Today's our Flamet Zayin. We are up to the first word of Flamet Zayin. Okay, we'll begin. Today's shiur is sponsored by Avrumi and Tavi Khan, Le'il Nishmas, Avrumi's father, Moshe Eliezer ben Binyamin HaKohen. Ben Yaakov, ben Binyamin HaKohen, yeah. Moshe Eliezer ben Binyamin HaKohen. Okay. So the Gemara says, Umanayin, so we had said yesterday that that there was a certain kapara, a certain vidui that the Kohen Gadol said. So the Gemara asks, Umanayin ba'ana, how do you know that you started off such a vidui with the word ana, which means please, which was mentioned over there in the Mishnah? How do you know that you start off that way? So the Gemara says, Nemar kan kapara, it says over here, kapara, v'nemar lahalan b'chorev kapara. And it says by Chorev, when Moshe Rabbeinu was asking the Bnei Yisrael Hashem for forgiveness, he said, "Ana chata ha'am azeh." Yes, please Hashem. Yes, they did sin, but forgive them. So we have the word kapara by the Yom Kippur service. We have the word kapara by Chorev, and it says ana over there. So the Gemara makes a gzeirah shava. Ma'ala halam ba'ana, just like over there by the Egel, it says the word ana. Afkan ba'ana. So too, when the Kohen Gadol says his vidui, he uses the word ana, please. Uminayin shebashem. How do you know that he uses Hashem's name also? What we had yesterday. Which name is it? Well, whichever name it is, how do you know you say any name of Hashem? So the Gemara says, Nemar kan kapara. It says by the Yom Kippur service, kapara. V'nemar be'egla arufa kapara. And by egla arufa, it also says the word kapara. Right, when you find an anonymous corpse somewhere out in the field, right, so the elders of the city have to come out there and they have to say a certain phrase, and in that phrase is Hashem's name. Right, like we didn't do anything wrong, Hashem. It's Hashem's name. So you see, it's Gzeirah Shava. Mahala halam b'shem, af kan b'shem. Fine. So Gemara Amar Abaya asked, Bishlo mechorev me'egla arufa lo yalif. We can't learn out anything from chorev, from what Moshe Rabbeinu did to egla arufa, the phrase that the canon of the city say. Why not? Because my dahava hava. Because whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said, he said. So you can't say he should have said based on that. He didn't say it. Whatever he said, he said. Whatever he didn't say, he didn't say. So you can't connect those two. Ela bat, egla arufa, telef mi chorev. But learn out egla arufa from chorev. That what? And Rashi explains that you should say the word ana. In other words, we can't ask what Moshe Rabbeinu should have said. He said whatever he said. But at least what he said at Chorev, which is the word Ana, should be Mechayid Ed La Rufa to say the word Ana. At least that much should be true. V'chite Mahachanami. And if you're going to say that's right. The Kahanim, the Kahanim of the ear, should say Ana. But why not? V'atnan, but we looked at the Mishnah, HaKahanim Omrim, what do the Kahanim say? Kiper La'amcha Yisrael. Right? Well, the word here, Kahanim, is difficult. Question is, who were these Akanim? Were they Kahanim? Probably not. They were just Bez, Sanhedrin. It's like Rashi somewhere says that one of them had to be a Kohen. So, whatever. But it doesn't necessarily mean they're Kahanim. It means the Bezdin. What would the Bezdin say? Ki per la'amcha Yisrael. Right? This should be an atonement for Yisrael. V'ilu ba'ana lo ka'amar. But they don't say the word ana. So why not? The Gemara says, Kasha. You're right, that's a Kasha. Okay. But Shachachma says, you know what the answer could be? The answer could be very simple. Because what does ana mean? When you have a kapara, ana acknowledges, it's please. You're acknowledging that only Hashem is the one who could grant you kapara. So by saying ana, that's an acknowledgement of that fact. However, by the egla rufa, that doesn't come into play. The kapara is a different kind of kapara. The kapara is, we have to say this, we have to do this procedure. We didn't do anything wrong. We didn't escort the fellow, okay, but they didn't do it. They didn't do the murder. They didn't do anything wrong. The whole it's a procedure. So saying honor doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it's a very nice thing to say, please, but it's not ma'akev. By the other case, it's ma'akev. Moshe's begging for forgiveness. So by acknowledging that only Hashem can do it, you say honor, please Hashem. By Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol says, please Hashem. It's an acknowledgement. By the Ezra Rufa, it's no acknowledgement. It's just a procedure. So the word ana doesn't really fit. That's the answer. Well, the point is the kasha. So the Meshach is trying to answer. Well, what could a teretz be? Right, we know kasha means there is an answer somewhere, as opposed to tiyufta. What could the kasha be? The kasha could be. It's not as vital. That's what the Meshach says. Fine.
Every time that the word
Right, so that's an old question, right? Every time the word Vayomer Hashem is used, you make a Gzer Shava. No, so they had a Mesorah when it was available. It must have been there was a potential for this availability. So that's why the Gemara asked the question. Right. This leads to a whole discussion about when we say Vidya Yom Kippur, do we say the word Ana? So many times it's in parentheses in the Machzor. Right, so it's a whole discussion, should you say it or not. The Sheikh Tzibur certainly says it. In the Sheikh Tzibur's repetition, it's always there, because some say he's a Kodolos compared to the Sheikh Tzibur, he's a representative of the Kahal, so for him to say the Ana is certainly appropriate. Whether each person says it, somebody has different Nuschas, we'll discuss whether or not it should be said. Then the Gemara says, V'hein onen achrav, and everybody would answer, every time he said the word Hashem's name, they would answer. Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I call the name of Hashem, Havu Goda Lelokeinu, ascribe greatness to God, which means Omer Lehem Moshe Yisrael. Moshe said to the Bnei Yisrael, what does that pasuk mean? B'shah Shani Mazkir Shemosh Al Kadosh Baruch Hu. Whenever Hashem's name is mentioned, Atem Havu Godel. You ascribe greatness. Rabbi Chanina Achi Ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Omer Zecher Tzadik Levracha. We have a concept. This is tomorrow's daf as well. Zecher Tzadik Levracha. That whenever you mention a tzadik, it should be Levracha. So Amal Lehem Navi Yisrael. The Navi, Mr. Shlomo HaMelech. Why is it called Navi here? Amal Lehem Navi Yisrael. The Navi, the Shlomo HaMelech says to Bnei Yisrael in that pasuk of Zecher Tzadik Levracha, which is a Mishlei. V'shah she'ani mazkir tzadik olamim. When I mention Hashem, who's the greatest tzadik that there is, then atem to do bracha. Say a bracha. And that's why they would say, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Ola'olam Vo'ev. Which we said yesterday, that's the makar for Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. So just one more. So we said yesterday that Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, we discussed yesterday if it's appropriate if you're not saying it in the context of a bracha, like by Duchening. By when it's Yivrecha Hashem, because we don't say Hashem, we don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, let's say, for example, during laning. Someone's mentioning it, Hashem's name comes up, no one says Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. So it's not every time. It's in the context of a bracha, basically. But they point, the post can point out, based on this Gemara over here, that if there's ever a time where it's not appropriate to talk, then don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Right? The rabbi always gets up before the Kiyah Shofar. When the Baal Tekeh says, but the bracha is, don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Why? Because it's a hefsek. So then, don't say it. Right? But when we say the brachas in the morning, every morning, tefillas hashachar, the brachas in the morning, then everyone does say it. So, because it depends. Is it usher to talk or not? If it's usher to talk, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, that's what they always say, let's say, wherever you daven and you're not allowed to speak, the Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo goes away. Because it's only a bin hug. It's based on the concept of what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not a din. So whenever it's usher to talk, that one falls away. So that could be the context of a bracha. It's up to the talk. It's a different kind of. It's not a hefsek, right? If you have to work out each case. Yes, he does. It's the only place in the whole Shulchan Aruch where he says that the sin is greater than you can bear. It's the only place by talking during Chazal Shatz. Very scary. So, fine. Okay, next Mishnah. Ba'alo l'mizrach. He came to the Mizrach, the Kodol came to the east. The Hazara Litzafon, Baal Mizrach Hazara, he came to the east of the Hazara, Litzafon HaMizbeach, on the northern side of the Mizbeach. To the north of the Mizbeach. Hasagan Miyamino, the Sagan was on his right side, Varosh Av, Varosh Bezav Besmolo, and the head of the Bezav, the person that was the Kohen that was assigned to be the head of the Bezav for that week, had it not been Yom Kippur, and they would have been doing work. He's the one who stands on his left side. Visham, Shnei Se'irim, and there were two goats over there. Now we're getting up to the procedure of the two goats. One was Lashem, one was Lazazel. These two goats, the Klifei Hoitzesham, there were lotteries there. Uba Sham Gorolos, and there was a lottery box. Shalashkora, and it was made out of wood. The lottery was made out of wood. The actual lottery, the lots. Hayos Hayu, Va'asan Ben Gamla Shalzav. And Yeshua Ben Gamla, he made them into gold as an honor. Who's Yeshua ben Gamla? We had him already. He was the one whose wife bought him the job of Kohen Gadol. So we had a discussion then, was he a tzaddik or not? We said he's the one, there's Yeshua ben Gamla, who was the one who was the first person who set up yeshivas, right? once it's the same person, so it's a machlokes, so it's the same person or not. Everyone agrees he was worthy. He might have, some might have been people more worthy. Okay. Anyway, he made him of gold. And they also praised him for good. Wow, what a good thing he did. He beautified the procedure. Now the Gemara is going to discuss other people who beautified the Beis HaMikdash. Ben Katin, we had him already, he was also a Kohen Gadol. Asa Yud Beis Dad L'Kiyar, he made 12 faucets for the Kiyar. Shelo Hayiba El Shnayim, because it only had two. And he made 12. Why did he make 12? Because there were 13 Kahana that had to do the Karban Tumid in the morning, but one of them didn't have to wash his hands and feet, because he was a Shochet, which could be done by a Zar. So there were 12. So he made 12 so they could save time. They could all do it together. And the Af Hayosin Muchni L'Kiyar, he also made a Muchni for the Kiyar. What's a Muchni? Rashi says the word machine comes from the word Muchni. Rashi says it was basically a pulley. The problem was any water that was left overnight in the Kiyar would become puzzled because of Lina, because it stayed overnight. Anything that was touching Kedusha, Kodesh, that stayed overnight became puzzled with Lina. So what they would do is, and it was a bizayon to every morning, have to open up the Kiyar, spill it out, and pour new water. So what they would do, he built a hole in the ground with a pulley system, and every night they would lower the Kiyar into a mikvah, and it would fill up there. The mikvah wasn't Kodesh, and there'd never be a Lina problem. And every morning they'd pull it back up. That's what Rashi says. The Rambam says, different. He said, basically, there was a huge basin that was on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, and they put the Kiyar into that. That wasn't Kodesh. That wasn't a Lina problem. Similar idea. The question is, there a pulley or not? So according to the Rambam, there's no pulley. It's just a big vat that was there. And this was Ben Cotton came up with. They'd put the Kiyar into that vat. It was full of water. It wasn't Kodesh. It was Chol. And therefore, there wasn't a problem of Lina. Because Lina is only applied by Kodesh, not by Chol. Shalohaya miyamav nifsalam b'lina. So there should never be a Lina problem. Munbaz HaMelech. Munbaz the king. It's a whole discussion who this person is. And whoever he was. Hayaose kol yodos hakelim shal yom ha-kipurim shal zav. He made all the kelim of the Yom Kippur. Everything that was used on Yom Kippur, he made the handles out of gold. And of course, the Gemara is going to ask, why didn't he make everything out of gold? Why only the handles? Hilni Imo, Hilni his mother, what did she do? Asasa Nivreshes Shel Zahav, she made a golden candelabra. Al Pesach Heichel, on the entranceway of the Heichel, and just to beautify that, as you walk in, there was a beautiful chandelier hanging down. Right? That's what she did. The af he asasa tavla shel zahav. She also wrote a golden board, a plate of gold, and she wrote on it. She had someone write on it. She parashas sota kesuva alav, and she had the whole parashas sota written there. Why? Because whenever there was a potential sota, they had to write over the parasha of sota and put it in the water that the sota would drink. So it was a big desire to have to go to the Aron Kodesh, take out a Sefer Torah to copy over that parsha. What a bizarre that is to the Torah to do that. So she didn't want to be a bizarre, so she wrote it over on a plate. So the sofer would look at that plate and write it over, copy it over. And they praised her for that. And Nicanor, what about Nicanor? Nasim Nisim Dat Ladal Sosav. They did the miracles happen to his doors. Hopefully we'll get to it today. Vahayumaz Kirin Oso L'Shevach. And they praised all these people for good. All these people were praised for good. So when you get to the Muchni, what was going on there with the Muchni, Rashi says, Mefarish b'Gemara, Galgal, we'll save it when we get to the Gemara. Fine. So before we get to that, so the Gemara says, Bidik Amar L'Tzafan HaMizbeach, since it said that the person went, the Kohen Gadol was standing by the north of the Mizbeach, north of the Mizbeach, Michlal, the Mizbeach Lav, B'Tzafan Koi, that the Mizbeach was not in the north. Right? It was not in the north at all. Mani, who's that? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That's the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Netanya, Tzafona l'fnei Hashem. It was to the north of Hashem. Sheyehe kulo tzafun panoi, which means the whole north is open. There's no north, there's no Mizbeach in the north. The whole north is completely open. And that's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Shita. Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Well, yesterday we said, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon he. Yesterday we said it's the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Yesterday we said it's the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. So yesterday we said that the first Mishnah was Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who held that the north was a lot of area, and of course the Mizbeach was in the south, was in the north. Today we're saying that the Mizbeach was not in the north at all. It was only in the south. Right? So how can that be? How can the Mishnah be like both? It's only one Mishnah ago. It can't be both. It's impossible. So the Gemara answers, no. Kula Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The whole thing is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The whole thing is Rabbi Elazar, even yesterday. Yesterday we said that he was standing between the Mizbech and the Ulam, and that was the north, and wasn't that in the, and that was considered the north. So the Gemara answers, Vitani Bibain Ha'ulam Le Mizbech. No, you have to change that to mean that he was standing between, he was in the north. There was no Mizbech there. There was no Mizbech there. Because we're holding now, the Mizbech was only in the south. And he was in the north, and he was lined up between the Mizbech and the Ulam. If he would be in the south, he was in that area. He was in that area, but he happened to have been in the north, and there was, he was not lined up between the Mizbech and the Ulam because the Mizbech was not there. The Mizbech was south of him. However, what does it mean? Had the Mizbech been there, that's where he was standing, in that area. Okay, that's what the Gemara says over here. But yesterday we said, what did we say yesterday? That we hold like him. The Advaita asked this question. Didn't we say yesterday we hold like him? So fine, you got out of the Mishnah, but there's still the two. We can't hold like both of them. So the Advaita answers, we only hold like him as opposed to the other Shittos. But not that we hold like him over this person, over Elazar ben Yaakov. That we don't do. We only hold like him that the Tzafon includes any area more than what the other Shittos said yesterday. Whether it's only Keneged the Mizbeach, or it's even other area, we hold like him, it's other area too, but not, it's not in the north, not the Mizbeach, but the Mizbeach was not there. That could have been designated as Tzafon, true, because Tzafon wasn't just north. We said it was more area depending on who you hold like, but we don't hold like the other Shita that was much more narrow. We hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon that it was more expansive, but Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is still correct that there was no Mizbeach in the Tzafon.
Right.
I know, that's what the Gemara assumes. That's what the Gemara assumes. The Gemara doesn't let up on that. Right. Right. Right, exactly. Exactly. Exactly, that's exactly the point. But we said yesterday that he was between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. And he was in the north, so that can't be. Because there was no Mizbeach in the north. So the answer is, no, he was in the north, there was no Mizbeach there, but he was in the area that if the Mizbeach would have been there, he'd be in between the two. Sorry, next. Hasagan b'yamino v'rosh b'yisav b'smolo. Right, the Sagan was on the right side, and the Rosh b'yisav was on the left side. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, ha-mahalik li'yamin rabo, if somebody walks to the right of his Rebbe, harezi bor, you're a bor. What's a bor? Rashi says, you don't even have derech eretz. Not all you Amma Aret, even worse. You don't even have Derech Eretz. At least an Amma Aret can have Derech Eretz. A boor is even worse. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. But Tanan, our Mishnah said, Hasagan b'yamin of Rosh b'yisav b'smolo. That they would have people on the right and the left. But oh, Tanya, we also learned, Shlosh Yitzhak Mahalchen b'derech. Three are walking along the way. Harav b'emta, Gadol b'yamino. The Rav is in the middle. Gadol b'yamino, v'katan b'smolo. So what do you mean you can't, what do you mean you're a boor? V'chein also Martina b'shlosha malachi ashares, the three angels Shabo etel Abraham that came to Abraham, Michael be'emta, Gavriel b'yamino, Michael be'emta. Michael is the greatest malach. He was in the middle. Gavriel b'yamino, Rafael b'smolo. Right. So how could that be? The malachim wouldn't do that either. Malachim aren't boors, right? And that's how the mafarshim explained. That's how Abraham says Abraham spoke to the malach. Right? Rashi says, who did he speak to? The Gavriel. How did he know he was? Because he was in the middle. That's how Avram knew. So what's pshat? So the Gemara says, "Tilgam Rav Shmuel bar Papa kamed the Rav Ada bar kidei sheyitchaseh bo rabo." It doesn't mean that they were walking side by side. That's a boor. No one does that. What it means is that they were walking slightly behind him, like so to speak, covering him. So the Kohen Gadol is walking in the front. The two of them were behind him, basically covering him. That's what it means. Sheyitchaseh. They were covering him. Nobody could see. And that's permissible. That's okay. So the Gemara says, that's true, Votanya. Hamahalech keneged rabo, if you walk behind your Rebbe, hareze bor, that's a bor. I'm sorry, if you walk side by side, that's a bor. Achori rabo, if you walk behind your Rebbe, hareze megasi aruach, that's gaiva. That's not appropriate either. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Dimitzadeh Achdudeh. They're walking diagonal. So the Kohen Gadol is walking, and there are two of them are on the diagonals of him. So they're not behind him, and they're not side by side from him. And that's how they would walk. And that's okay. That's acceptable. And as Fasemis points out, this obviously only applies when you're walking. Because if you're standing, you have Moshe was standing in the middle, right? Aaron was on one side, Hur was on the other side, and that's okay. And they were dancing to defeat Amalek. How could that be? The answer is because nobody was walking. So when you're standing up, it's perfectly acceptable. Right? But when you're walking, that's an issue. Right? That's an issue. Okay. Fine, next. The Kalfei Haisusham Uba Shnei Gorolos. Right, there were the lotteries there, there were two lots. So the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan. It says in the Pasuk, V'nasan Aaron al Shnei HaTzeirim Gorolos. Plural. So doesn't that mean the Gemara says, Gorolos, shall call davar. It can be made out of anything. It doesn't say what it can be made out of anything. The Gemara is going to say, gold, nuts, whatever you want. Yachol Yitin, I would think, Yitin Shnayim al Zeh, V'Shnayim al Zeh. I would think you have to draw two lots, one for each animal. Because it says Gorolos plural. So you have to draw two lots, one for each animal. How are you going to know which one? It's a question. But that's what the Pasuk seems to say. So the Gemara says, no, don't think that. Talmud Lomar, Gorol Echad Lashem, V'Gorol Echad Lazazel. One for Hashem, one for Azazel. The Gemara says, Ein kan Lashem, El Gorol Echad, V'Ein kan Lazazel, El Gorol Echad. Only one Gorol for each. Then the Gemara says, Yachal Yitain Shal Shem, V'Shal Azazel Azeh, V'Shem Shal Azazel Azeh. Maybe, you know what the Pasuk means? You draw lots. And whichever one is for Hashem, fine. Whichever is for Azazel, fine. Then you switch them. So that each animal has both lots on it, even for a time. Just a procedure. You've picked which animal is going to be for Hashem, and you've picked, but then you switch the lots, just so that each animal, don't make two lots. It says, Gorol Echad Lashem. But it could have said, Gorol Hashem, Gorol Azazel. Why Echad? That's what the Gemara is going to answer. So maybe each one has to have both. So, Talmud Lomar. One second, where am I? Ela echad yachol yitein shal shem v'shal adazal alzeh v'shem shal adazal alzeh. Talmud lomar gorol echad l'ashem ein kan l'ashem ela echad. Only one. V'ein kan l'azazal ela echad. There's only one also. In kain ma talmud lomar gorolos. So then why does it say plural gorolos? If we've just said each animal only gets one no matter what, why does it say plural? So the Gemara says shiyu shavin. They should both be equal. Shalo yase echad shal zav v'echad shal kesef. Don't make one out of gold and one out of silver. Don't do that. Don't make them different. Echad gadol v'echad katan. One big, one small. Gorolos. And then it says gorolos. And we said shal kol davar. It can be out of anything. So the Gemara says pshita. It doesn't say anywhere that it has to be made out of something. Why they can be out of anything? Why not? So the Gemara says lo tzricha l'kidatanya l'fishim matino b'tzitz. We find that by the tzitz shahashem kasev alav. That the name of Hashem is written on it. V'hu shel zahav, and it's made out of gold. Af ze yachal af ze kain. So too, this has also been made out of gold. Talmud lomar goral. So it says goral. Goral riba. The goral and the word goral is a riba. Riba shel zayis. It could be made out of olive. Riba shel ego. It could be made out of nut. Riba shel ashkor. It could even be made out of wood. What's the connection between the tzitz and the goral? Good question. But just because it's in Hashem's name, this also have Hashem's name. It should also be made out of gold. And what's the connection? There must be something deeper. I didn't see anyone discuss it. Every time Hashem's name is written on something, it has to be made out of gold.
What
does the Sarah Hashem forgive? I don't remember. Might have been for Tumah. That could be a connection. Maybe that's a connection. Interesting. Okay. And the Shil Azazel was a kafar for everything. Fine. So Ben Katan asked the Shnei Masar Dad L'Kiyar. Ben Katan made 12 spouts for the Kiyar. Right? Tana. Kadeshiu Shnei Masar Achav Kahanim Asukin Batamid Makachi Yedei Berglein Vasachas. They can do it at one time. That's why he did it as a good idea. Tana. Shachris in the morning. Now the old Kiyar, by the way, had only two spouts. Where were they? So they were not side by side. We always see in the picture that they were on two opposite ends of the kier. That's not true, the Gemara is going to say right now. One was on the bottom and one was on top. That's where they were. They were on top and the bottom. So the Gemara says, Tana, Shachris, Bimiluo, Shachris, in the morning when the kier was nice and big and full, Mekadesh, you had the Viraglav, Bina Elyon. They would use the upper forfeit. because as the day goes on, the water is going to go down. So you can't use it up a faucet later. So in the morning, they'd use the upper faucet. It was nice and full. But Arvis in the afternoon, Biridaso, when they were finishing the avodah of the day and the water went down the whole day, they were using the water from the kier. Now there's very little water left. Then, Mekadesh Yod Debraglav Menatachton, they would use the lower faucet. So, V'afhu Ose Mukhni Lekir, he even made a Mukhni. What's a Mukhni? So listen to this. My Mukhni, what's a Mukhni? Omar Abaya, Abaya says, Gilgala, it was round, the Havi Mishkale, that it was able to sink. So Rashi says, if you go back to the Mishnah, Rashi says Mukhni. He says, if I was Brigamara, Gilgal Ishkalabo Babor. He adds in the word Babor, in a pit. Shahayu Miyamav Mikhubar and Libimeme Kiyar. So the water of that pit were touching the water of the Kiyar. And the Elo Havi Mifsli Belina, it wouldn't pass with Lina, with the thing overnight. Why not? Lafisha Kachu Bakli, because it was in the Kli. Velo Kavod Kachim Hu Lifsal Mayam Kadosha. And Rashi says it was not covetic to empty out the water every night. So what would they do? They would lower it down. So what's the machine? The machine is the pulley. They would lower down the kiyar into this bar. The bar was not kodesh. And therefore the water in the bar would touch the kiyar. The kiyar would be nice and full, but there wouldn't be a lina problem. That's what Rashi says. The Rambam says, he says in Beis HaBechira, he says, Hakir ha'yelo shnei masar dad. They had 12 spouts. Kadei shiyu kol kana masukim b'tamim b'kachin b'melu ke'echad. Umukhni asulo shehiyu b'mayim tamid. It was a mukhni should always be full of water. What's the mukhni? The Rambam says v'hi chol. It was chol. It was not kodesh. Kadei shelo ha'yumayim shabad of salam b'lina. Shehakir mikli kodesh. V'kodesh b'chol davar shekodesh mikli kodesh yimlo nifsal. Right. And so all the Rambam says is doesn't say anything. Doesn't say anything about a pulley. Doesn't say anything about a bore. He just says that there was a place where they put water was there all day, and it was chol, so it didn't become kodesh. So there was no lina problem. So the Ravid says on the Rambam, zaramani roa. What you're saying is foreign, the Khan. And the Ravid says like Rashi. So the Kesef Mishnah says, what's the Ravid jumping on the Rambam for? Well, he has to hold like Rashi. Why is the Gemara more like Rashi than like the Rambam? The Gemara doesn't say one word about a pulley. All the Gemara says is galgal. It was round, galgal, hayut mashka. They could sink it. So the Kesef Mishnah says, "What's wrong?" He says, "Listen to this lashon. Listen to what he says. He says v'yeshut mo'alav the adru neishu mekubal kipirish Rashi. Just because the rabbi holds like Rashi, misha pirish akar davar zoyo malo. So a different answer is foreign. What's wrong with giving a different answer? Rashi is much more sensational, much more fascinating." Why is it more right? So the Kesef Mishnah doesn't know what's the Rav dropping on the Rambam for. He's allowed to have a shita. But what's more interesting is that the Rambam in later on in Hilchas B'yes HaMikdash he says as follows: Make kiyar defselam belina. The make kiyar is pasal with lina. Therefore, kamosha ba'ayin, like I explained, ketad hayosim mashkiin osim b'me mikvah. They fill it up with a mikvah, or b'ma'ayin, or with in a spring. Ulamachon in the morning, malan oso u'meilan oso b'chol yom boker. They'd use it every day. Doesn't mention the mukhni. So there's a few answers to this. The Tzitz Eliezer says, you know why? Because here the Rambam is talking before he came along, and in Beis HaBechira he's talking about after he came along. Rambam's giving history. Here he's talking about what the kiyar looked like. Yeah, every morning they fill it up. And then Rambam over here, Beis HaBechira, is saying after Ben Katan came along and made the faucets. Others say no. The Tiferes Yisrael says no. The Rambam is saying the same thing. Same thing. He just left that part out. But of course, he meant to say that they would use the kiyar every morning, and they would of course use this mechanism. Whether it was a big vat that they would just put it in, or have it sent down with a pulley. Either way, the Rambam is not inconsistent. He's saying the same thing. So we discussed this already. Was the kiyar kodesh? Was the kiyar kodesh? So it's very interesting. First of all, when the Rambam lists all the kelim of the base, he doesn't mention the kiyar in those kelim that are part of the process of kedusha. The kiyar is not mentioned. Also, if you look at the Torah, whenever you have all the levian that would carry all the kelim, the kiyar is never mentioned. The aron, it's all there. The kiyar is not there. So did it have kedusha? It's interesting. It's an interesting question. There's no halacha l'maisa.
That you can make modifications to it.
Right.
You
can make modifications to it. Right. But Mistam, it was not Kodesh. For these very reasons. So it's not mentioned in Parshas, Vayakel, Pakude, all those Parshas about carrying. It's not mentioned. Right? Rambam leaves it out when he discusses the Kehillah of the Beis HaMikdash in terms of the Kedusha. It's not mentioned.
So this thing was done in the night time?
Right. Oh, at night, after they were done with the day, they lower it down, either down a pulley or just into a vat, and wherever it was not Kodesh. So there was no Lina problem.
And the next morning?
Then the next morning they'd raise it up, and it's all full. Otherwise, actually, it's a bezayon to have to empty it out and refill it. So that's where they got around this problem by having it sit somewhere else overnight. The lean is only in Kodesh. That's the problem. That's the issue. What? Right, if it wasn't in the Kli, there's not possible psul of lina. The psul of lina is only on Kodesh. So if you keep, if someone had a cup of water in the Beis HaMikdash overnight, that wasn't a possible lina. Because there's no Kedusha in that Kli, in that cup. If it was a Kli Sharus, then it would. Right, someone brought a water bottle to the Beis HaMikdash, it's not possible lina. What? That shows the Kiyas Kodesh. Oh, very good point. That shows the Kiyas Kodesh. Right, so it's an open question. So how come it's not mentioned in the Mesos, in the Carians? They left it out, Torah left it out. Alright, it goes both ways. Okay. So Munbat HaMelech, Asa Kol Yodos HaKelim, he made him out of gold. So the Gemara says, Navzinu L'Dudhu Dizav. Why didn't he make the whole thing out of gold? Why not? So Amar Abaya says, B'Yodos HaKinon. It was the handles of knives. Handles of knives. You can't make a knife out of gold. It's not going to be, the Mefarshim explained, it's not going to be a good knife. It's going to bend. Gold is not a hard metal. He couldn't do that. So at least the handles he made out of gold. So Gemara says, Mason, what do you mean? Afhu osa kine kalim. He even made the bases of kalim, the agune kalim, and the rims of kalim, the yados kalim, and the hands of kalim, the yados akinon, and the hands of sakins, shiomar kipurim shalzav. So you see, there are other kalim that were made out of gold. What are they? So Tirgam Abaya, Vikasta Dinagri Vikatine. The handles of axes and other kinds of axes. Those are kalim. You can't have an axe out of gold. It's not going to be a good axe. But the handle you can make out of gold. What about the kone kalim? What about the bases? Or the rims? What about the rest of the kalim? Of that the rim. Why did they make the rim out of gold? What about the rest? So the Mefarshim explained, those were already made out of gold. But for whatever reason, the bases and the rims, they would not make out of gold. So he even added that. So that's what he means to say, only the handles, because the kalim he's discussing couldn't have been made out of gold. It would have been non-functional if he made them out of gold. Therefore, he left them with the way they were, out of metal, but just the handles had changed to gold. Hilni imu asa navresha shalzav, tana, v'shosha achama zoreches, when the sun would hit that candelabra, nitzotos yotzim mimena, it would spark out, it would make a beautiful scene, and everybody would know that it was time for Shema. So Mesvi, the Gemara asks, wait a minute, Hakoreh Shema Shachris, if you say the morning Shema, in Anche Mishmar, with the Anche Mishmar, when they said Shema early in the morning, the Anche Maimed, or the Anche Maimed, who the Israeli representing the Kahal, then, lo yatza, it's no good. You know why? The Anche Mishmar Mashkimin. The Anche Mishmar say it too early. And El Bafar should explain, it doesn't mean here that they're not Yotze. They are Yotze, but it's not the preferable time. It's too early. The Yotze, but it's not the best time. And Anche Maimid Ma'achrin. And they say it too late. So what do you mean say it too late? They say it after the third hour of the day. That's hard to... But anyway, whatever, if we're focusing on the morning one, so how could you tell me that when the light hit that thing, it was time for Shema? We know that if you said Shema, when the Mishmar said Shema, it was too early. They said it because they were busy, they had a heter. But otherwise it's too early. So Amar Abaya says, no, L'shar Amad Yerushalayim, the rest of the city. When the rest of the city saw that light, that was not too early, and that's the optimum time to say Shema. Right? Because the issue of Shema, there's three times. There's this early, the best time, and then until the third hour. So they would say, the Anche Mishmar would say that the first Shema, which is mutter, not preferred. Then everybody else would say that it's a preferred time, and then you have up to the third hour if you have a delay.
How did
apparently, it lit up the whole city. Fine. She also made this tablet. What's that? Shmas mina k'suvin megillah l'tinok l'has l'islamid ba. You're allowed to rewrite. This is before they wrote down Torah Shabbat. So there was a whole discussion. What could you write down? So you see from here, you can write down something to teach the children. Want to teach the children psukim, you can rewrite them. Right? The gezeirah about writing down was very, very strict. So not only would they not write down Torah Sheba'al Peh, they wouldn't even write down Torah Sheba'al Ketav if it wasn't in the Sefer. Only in the Sefer Torah. So you couldn't write down your Bar Mitzvah Parsha on another piece of paper to carry around with you. Couldn't do that. Had to be only in the Sefer Torah. So you see from here, not that way, because she made one. The Gemara says, not a Raya. Amar Rosh Lakish, no, Mishum Rabbiyani, but Aleph Beis. All she wrote was the Aleph Beis. She just wrote the abbreviations of every word of those Pesukim. And then the Sofer was writing, he would know. See with the Baki, he would know. Oh, right, right, that's the order. Right, right, I remember. I see the initials. That's all it was. So the Gemara says, Meisvei, what do you mean? Kishu Kosev, Roev, Kosev, Ma, Shekosev, Betavla. It says that when he would sit, when the Sofer would sit, he would look at the Ksav. And he would write down, and he would copy the Ksav. So the Gemara says, Ema, Roev, Kosev, Ma, Sheksav, Kima, Sheksav. He would write down like what it said. He didn't write down what it said, because it was an Aleph Beis. He would write down like what it said. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Meisvei, Kishu Kosev, Roev, Kosev, Ma, Shekosev, Betavla. So when he would write, he would look at it, he would write down what it said. And Umasha Kasa Batavla, what did it say on that tablet? Im Shakhav Ish Aushav, if he would lie, Im Lo Shakhav, right, Im Satis, Im Lo Satis, if she didn't heed the warning, right, some of that's not really Psukim. It's just the Gemara just giving you the contrast. So you see that he wrote down Mamash Psukim. Right? If she didn't listen, if she didn't heed the warning, she wrote down Mamash Psukim. So the Gemara says, no, Hasam Bishirugin. What happened was, it was written in what Rashi explains. What they would do is, they would write the beginning words of the pasuk, and then they would write the rest of the pasuk in abbreviations. Beginning of each pasuk, they'd write the first two or three words, and then the rest of it they would write in abbreviations. So when it says over here, Im Shachav, these words, those are the beginning of Pesukim. So that they would see the words, and then the rest of it would be the abbreviations. Fine, we'll get to the Mishnah now, because tomorrow's daf is gigantic. And we have a few minutes, and it's a fascinating story. This is the story of Nicanor and the gate and the doors. Nas Nicanor Nas and Nisim Ladal Sosav. Tanur Rabbanan. Ma Nisim Nas Ladal Sosav. What Nisim was done to those doors? What miracles? Amru, they said, Kishahalach Nicanor Lahavi Dal Sosav Milatan Jerusalem Mitzrayim. When Nicanor went down to Egypt to get those doors, and all of the Mepharshim say over here, it doesn't mean he violated the law of not living in Mitzrayim, because he didn't go down to live there. He just went down for business, isn't that surely mutter? And I the Rambam, lived in Mitzrayim, so there's a whole discussion about that, but basically, it could be pshat, that only mitzvah only applies when we have our Eretz Yisrael. Then you can't live in Egypt. Otherwise, all chutzal Eretz is the Lashon, it's kula chada Eretz. It's all one land. It's all chutzal Eretz. Doesn't make it, but he certainly didn't go down there to live. He just went down there for the doors. And Amad, and Bechaziras, so on the return journey, Amad Alav Nachshal Shabayam, a storm came upon them, Lutala, to drown them. So not Luachas Mehen, they took one door, V'itilu Layam, they threw it into the river to soften up the load of the boat. Hopefully that would help. Right? That always happens. But Yonah also, they throw things overboard. So they took the door, they threw it overboard. V'adai and Lonach, Hayam, Mizafo. The Yam didn't rest from its anger. Then what happened? Bikshu lahatil es chavarta. They wanted to throw the other door off. Amad hu v'karcha. He got up near Ganar and he hugged that door. Amad lahem, he said, hatileni ima. You're throwing that door overboard, I'm going with it. And then what happened? Miyad noch hayam mizafo. Right away, the storm subsided. So all the Mepharshim asked, this is not Harzal Yavor. How could he do that? It's not Harzal Yavor. How could he do that? Right? Good kasha, no? Kasha is a lot better than the answer. Ben Yoyada says that since they knew they were going to die anyway, he had nothing wrong to say that. Anyway, they're going to drown. They're not going to get saved. So he might as well stand up for the covenant of the Beis HaMikdash. But Yashiv says that, he gives an answer. He says, you know what's pshat? It would have been a massive chil Hashem had they come back empty-handed. Everyone knew they're going down there for this, and everyone knew it's a whole big to do, and you come back empty-handed. So because of Chil Hashem, he was able to be Harv Vayavar. I don't know, that Harv Vayavar doesn't apply to Chil Hashem. It's a discussion. But that's what Rabbi Yashar tries to give an answer. I think the question is better than the answer. But anyway, an ace came out of this. V'hayim etztar al-chaverta. He was upset at the other one that he lost. They threw it overboard. Kivon she'gia l'lemolo shel Akko. Once they reached the port of Akko, hoysa mitzvatzetetz v'yotze b'tachas dof nehasvina. It was bobbing up and down next to the side of the boat. Look at that! It swam home with them in the boat, and the door was there the whole time. The Yesh Omrim that Bria Shabiyam Balasa, a sea creature swallowed the door. The Kiasa Liabasha, and he spit it up onto the dry land when they got to Akko. V'aleha amar Shlomo. That's what Shlomo hinted to when he said, "Koros batena arazim." The beams of our house are made out of cedar. Riatenu burosim, and our doors are made out of burosim wood. And the Gemara says, "I'll take a burosim." Don't read a burosim. El brias yam, a sea creature. Our doors are made from sea creatures because the sea creature saved the door. Lafikach, therefore, kol sharam halishahayim b'mikdash. All the doors in the base of mikdash nishtanu liyo shelzav. As the base of mikdash got more and more beautiful and they got more and more wealthy, they started to upgrade and changed all the doors into gold, whether it was gold plated or actual gold. But this one, chutz mishari nikkanu, they left it as copper. Mipnei shenasu bonisim, because the nace happened to the doors, even though the nace happened to only one door. It's really both. The age, some say it was a very beautiful copper and it shone very nicely. It was a very fine, very expensive copper, and it looked just like gold. So just Reb Chaim Shalevitz has one point. He says the kedusha is always connected to Mesiras Nefesh. For example, the Har Sinai, once the Mount Torah was over, Har Sinai has no kedusha. Anybody can go up there and play ball all they want. That's not Kedusha. Why? There's no Mesiras Nefesh. What was the Mesiras Nefesh of Har Sinai? None. We got the Torah. He says, but when Avram brought Yitzchak to the Akedah, that's an extreme example of Mesiras Nefesh. That's the holiest place in the world. That's Fat. That's Mesiras Nefesh. He says, Nicanor got up and had Mesiras Nefesh. I'm going with that door. So it became Kaddish. The Mesiras Nefesh is always connected to, Kedusha is always connected to Mesiras Nefesh. Right? Tomorrow we discuss the people that we don't praise. That's the next Mishnah. Right? We praise Menkatin and the Queen and Munbat. Tomorrow all the people we don't praise, all the people that tried to cut corners in the Beit HaMikdash. That's tomorrow's Daf Fascinating and Garata. And then we start the new Perek, which goes into the nitty gritty of the lots between the Seir HaMishleach and the Seir HaZazel. Everybody have a good Shabbos.
Yeah. 7:10.